This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There are a couple of things that most homeowners and design enthusiasts will know about King Living. Number one, it's an award-winning Australian brand that's been around for years. Number two, they make modular furniture that's built on a foundation of engineered steel frames. And number three, they're one of the better-known green furniture companies in this part of the world. But there's more to King Living than meets the eye. And in conjunction with the launch of their second outlet and flagship showroom in Bangsar last week, I caught up with the company's founder, David King, to talk about Australia's most awarded furniture brand. Why Malaysia has more King Living showrooms than any other country other than its home nation, and the challenges of running a family business that's gone global.
My name is David King. I'm the chairman and founder of King Living.
David, welcome to the show. Let's just start with the genesis of King Living. Is it true that it started out of your mom's house?
Absolutely. We started in 1977. My mother had an idea of making furniture for our own home, casual foam furniture. And she presented the idea to me. I made the actual foam pieces. Mm. She sewed the covers on her sewing machine, and we made them at home. And that was January 1977. And it looked great. We were very proud of these pieces that we made. And we thought, well, maybe there could be a market for them. So we put them in the car, put them on the roof rack of the car, and took them to a market in Sydney called Paddy's Market. It's quite a famous market where people sell different things. So anyway, we set up at the markets, put our furniture down there. And before we even could unload them from the car, other stall holders at the markets were coming up saying, wow, what are these? We want to buy them. And they became hugely successful. So from that one day at the markets, we started selling big volumes of this particular furniture. And we were making it our home in a leafy suburban street in Sydney. And, of course, the neighbours started complaining and the council complained. And they asked us to move, to either stop doing it. So we decided we'd have to either take it seriously or forget it. And we took it seriously. We rented premises in the city, in Sydney, where I made the furniture. And we opened a shop out the front, and that was the beginning. And we, a few months later, we employed our first sewing machinist to sew the covers. And we went from that in 1977, and now we employ over 700 people.
Wow.
And we're in many countries around the world. So it's been a very exciting journey.
Did you have any expertise in making these pieces, or was it just something that you picked up? Because today you can just go online and you can search how to, make anything, DIY anything.
Yeah,
but back
there.
Then, yeah. So did you have any expertise?
No, I didn't have a clue. And I think, funnily enough, that's one of the keys to our success, is that I didn't have a formal training. I didn't go to technical college or university and learn how to make furniture. So my approach was very different to the rest of the market at the time. Most people make furniture out of timber. They staple covers onto timber. They use webbing. I went down a completely different path. I knew how car seats were made. Car seats are made of steel. They have steel suspension. Car seats are very comfortable and they last. They last a lot longer than most domestic furniture. And I wanted the products we were making to last and stand the test of time. So I went in a completely different direction. So from 1977 to now, every piece of furniture we've made, you can actually take the covers off and replace the covers. Whereas most other manufacturers do the quick thing, they just staple the covers on. And once the covers are worn out, you virtually just throw the furniture away. So our furniture can be recycled. So it's those points of difference that has given our brand a difference. And I think the fact that I didn't have this background at that time was a great plus for the brand going forward.
So you opened your first showroom in Sydney back in 1977, and you've been in business now for more than four decades. How different is the market you're dealing with today compared to the late 70s and the early 80s when you first started?
It's very different. Of course, with the internet, a lot of people are buying furniture products online. Back then, there was no online. You could put an ad in a newspaper or magazine, but certainly couldn't couldn't show your products to the world the way you can now. And also design. You mentioned finding out about the technology, how to make furniture. You're right. These days you can go onto YouTube or anywhere. You can see demonstrations on how to do things. Back then it was very difficult. So it all has changed. And the way people live and their tastes have changed as well. And luckily our products evolve with the way people live. Our furniture has always been flexible. And I think it's due to the steel frames, the way you can plug things in, you can move an arm, change things around, that our furniture is very flexible and adapts to the times. So as you say, the times are very different now, but furniture that you might have bought from us 20 years ago is still adaptable today, which is very exciting.
I was reading an interview that you did a while ago with a local daily that said, and I quote, "This is a business whose reputation is literally built on steel." And you just mentioned it's the steel factor as well as how flexible King Living Furniture is today. Those are the main unique selling points. But are there other USPs that people aren't really aware about until they do their research on King Living?
That's right, because a piece of furniture, whether it's a sofa or a modular setting, can look the same. You can't tell what's inside it. With our products, we're using very expensive components inside, steel frames, and you have the ability to plug in things like charging tables or headrests or move the arm around. And this is throughout a lot of our models, just not on one design, on many of them. And it's not apparent when you look at the piece of furniture. And again, you can't tell by looking at a piece of furniture how well it's made, because the outside cover might look great, but inside you might have softwood timbers, webbing that you know will not stand the test of time. They'll start to sag. And in a short time, your furniture can start looking very tired and old, whereas with the products we make, because we use the steel technology, they'll stand the test of time. They'll look as good in 10 years, even 20 years' time. So there's a big difference.
What is the average King Living customer looking for? I mean, what do they seek you out for?
I think most people are decorating their homes. They're looking for something for their living room, something that'll make their homes look great. But we go a bit further than that. We try to make people's lives better, because you spend the best hours of your life on your sofa. You know, Malaysians work hard. They spend a lot of time working, and that time they spend at home, you know, after work when they can relax with their friends or their families on their sofas, they're the golden hours. They're the best hours of your life. So our products enhance that moment.
So from that first showroom in Sydney, King Living now has a presence all over Australia, in China, Canada, New Zealand, Singapore, and here in Malaysia. What would you say has been the biggest challenge for the business in going global?
I think the business, the biggest challenge, we started in Australia. I've always wanted to expand overseas. Malaysia has been very special in my heart. When I met my wife in a couple of years after I started the company, 1979, she worked for Malaysian Airlines, and I got to know a lot of my Malaysian friends there, our Malaysian friends there. And we also travelled to Kuala Lumpur quite often, being part of the airline. Her job, funnily enough, was a telex operator. And most people haven't heard of telex machines. In those days, they didn't have fax machines, didn't have computers or Wi-Fi. And she used to type in the telex that the flight was leaving Sydney with a number of passengers, et cetera. That was her job with Malaysian Airlines. But we got to know the country and the people and just loved it. So as an Australian brand, heading off overseas and expanding overseas, it's a little bit daunting, because you wonder, people were saying, especially we started in Singapore, that was our first place, and we did quite a wide survey, market survey of people, and we found that people in their minds preferred to buy Italian or French or German or English furniture. They didn't see Australia as a centre of design. They knew Australia as a place where people relax and not so much known for design. And when we opened in Singapore, we opened as a more of an international company. And it wasn't until we started putting in our advertising that we are Australia's most awarded company that people came to have a look. You know, they were curious. What's Australia's most awarded furniture company? They came and had a look and they loved it. People in Asia do love Australian design. They appreciate the relaxed Australian lifestyle. And we make products that enhance your homes and that you can relax in. So it's been very successful. You also mentioned Canada, North America. We opened our first store in Vancouver a few months ago, and the response has been overwhelming, just unbelievable. Canadians love our products, and they love the fact that they are designed in Australia.
We've got to squeeze in a quick break right now, but when we come back, how King Living has built a furniture business based on family values. Open for Business, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. In the studio with me today is David King, the founder of King Living. Australia's most awarded furniture company today has 20 showrooms throughout Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, Canada and China. But Malaysia is the first country outside their home turf to have two showrooms, the first in IPC Shopping Centre and its new flagship showroom, which was just launched last week in the heart of Bangsa. So Malaysia is the first country where you have chosen to open a second showroom. And of course, this is the one, the new showroom in Bangsa that we're talking about.
Correct.
Has the reception to the first outlet been that encouraging that you've decided to open a second one already?
It has. The first one we've opened at IPC has been hugely successful. And again, people love our products and the response has been great. So to open a flagship store was the natural progression. And we're so proud of that store in Bangsa. It's a beautiful store.
What potential do you see in the Malaysian market?
I think in a lot of ways, Malaysians are very similar, I mean, to all people, to people in Australia. They work hard, they love relaxing, they love spending time with their friends and family, and they like our products because our products are designed to enhance your lives.
Have you noticed unique or distinct challenges in running the business in Malaysia as opposed to other parts of the world?
I think not really. I think doing business in Malaysia is quite easy and pleasantly easy for a foreign company. But one thing we came very quickly aware of after we opened our first store here is Malaysians know a lot about design. They care about design and they are discerning. You know, they shop around and they're pretty careful about the products they buy. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of people that just buy the cheapest thing, but the ones that actually spending a bit more money do a bit of research. Mm. And our products compare very well with products from all over the world. And as I mentioned before, you cannot tell what's inside a piece of upholstered furniture just by looking at it. You need to find out what's underneath it. And when people do their homework, we come out on top every time. So Malaysians are very discerning and they know a lot about design.
So big sales or mega sales, like we like to call it here in Malaysia, they're a big part of the Malaysian retail culture, especially during holiday season. How is King Living adapting to this always on sale way of retail here?
Yeah, well, we love sales. As I mentioned, when we started, we took our products to a market. And at a market, you learn very quickly how to sell. Mm-hmm. And we want people to buy our products at the best possible price. And I think that's part of the appeal of our brand is that we have products at the highest international level, but they're affordable. They're not at crazy prices. They're more affordable. So we do like sales and we like genuine sale events.
So the higher price points are not a challenge? They're not a deterrent to the Malaysian market?
No, there's some people that appreciate better quality leathers, the better technology, and are prepared to pay the money, and they are getting good value for money. Some people might walk past one of our stores and look at a price and say, "Wow, that's expensive," but when they actually look at the technology and the way the product's made and really compare it with other products, our products aren't expensive because we actually design, manufacture, and sell them directly. So it's a very economical path for the purchaser.
The call for businesses to be eco-friendlier and more sustainable has never been stronger today. I know that King Living has a strong policy when it comes to sustainability. Maybe you can tell us more about this.
We do. We really care. And from the first furniture we made back in 1977, you could recycle it, 100% recycle those products. And today, when we're selecting materials, we make sure wherever possible we can use recycled materials. But I think the key fundamental part of the sustainability is the fact that our furniture lasts for a long time. There's been a mentality across the world of buying a sofa and then discarding it after 5 years. And right. You see these things out in the road or in landfill in the tips. Our furniture lasts a lot longer than 5 years. It'll last 10, 20, even 30 years. And we've found with customers over the time, they can recover their furniture after 10 years, after 5 years, to give their furniture a new life. And we think the fact that our products last longer is very sustainable.
Is there a cost to being sustainable, though? Does it impact the business in any way?
It is. There is a cost to being sustainable. For instance, our factories, we've done major upgrades in the way we produce. The air going out of our factories is cleaner than the air going in. Mm-hmm. Wherever we can, we're using solar. Our main factory, our factory in Sydney, Australia, if you look at on Google Maps, the whole property is covered in solar cells. You know, mm-hmm. this comes at great cost, but it's our aim to become as carbon neutral as possible. And even the showrooms that we own have solar for their lighting and air conditioning. So it does come at a cost, but it's something we believe in and something we're committed to.
So at the top of the show, you mentioned how this business basically grew out of your home, your mom's house.
Yeah.
Is it still a family-owned business?
Yeah, still a family-owned business. My daughters are involved in the business. I have two daughters. One is living in Vancouver, and she's handling our marketing over there, and the other is in Sydney, involved in different things. And my mother, whom I started the business with, I call her every few days, and she's always talking about our advertising and the products and the way the showrooms look. So she's still involved at that level. And of course, I have a CEO who's running the company. And as chairman, I'm involved in progressing the company, looking at the expansion and new products and different aspects of the business. So it is still a very strongly family business with family values.
What would you say are the biggest challenges in running a family business? Because a lot of Asian family businesses here, you know, the biggest issue is either technology or succession planning.
Yeah. Exactly. I think from the beginning, my mother and I quickly decided that our products were different, fairly special in the market. And we both agreed we were building a 100-year company. We weren't building a company, you know, a short-term company to make a lot of money and sell it off and put it on the stock market or whatever. We were building a long-term company. And it's easy to say that, but it's part of our DNA that... being a family company, we're not answerable to shareholders. We can do things, we can take risks that public companies can't do. And I think one of the challenges of family business is doing too much yourself, doing too much in the family. And I found myself at one stage trying to do everything from designing the products, selling the products, doing advertising, because I thought I could do it quite well. I didn't realise there are other people out there that could do it better. And as we employ more and more people, we're employing people that were actually specialists in those areas, and that's a very exciting thing. The other thing about a family business is succession planning and how the business can be sustained over many years, even going past the family members running the business. And that was part of my decision to appoint a CEO to run the business and step back from the daily running so I could look at the business from a, more of a distance rather than being hands-on at every level. The other thing I've noticed, especially in Australian furniture businesses, when we started in 1977, there were a number of very strong Australian furniture companies, and most of them were family businesses, and those businesses have all gone. They've virtually, as the founders had retired or died, the businesses had stopped. Well, I didn't want that to happen to our business. I wanted our business to go on well after me and other family members. And that's the way we've structured it, and we've put together the systems and brought in other people to enhance the business. But I think one of the real tricks of running a business at a family level is bringing in other people, because you can't just rely on family members and you can't do everything yourself. So the real key to our growth, for instance, I used to do a lot of the design, and it's very hard to find experts who can design sofas and products with our technology. So what I decided to do is hire some of the best and brightest young students from universities, bring them in and train them over 2-3 year period. And now we have a group of about 6 or 7 young designers designing our products that are amazing and far better than I would ever be at designing. These people are just awesome and so clever. So that sort of thing is a big step. But for the future, you can see what a great thing it is for the business.
All right, final question, David. What's next for King Living? Where do you see the business moving?
Yeah, I think from the time we started in 1977 to now, it's been a really fantastic adventure. And when I look back on what we've achieved, it's very, very satisfying. But I think one of the reasons for our success is that we have control over design, manufacturing, retail, and after-sales care, where we can help the customer with their purchase through the many years to come. The future is very exciting. I think some of the new designs, some of the concepts that we're looking at for the way you live, for different types of furniture, are quite extraordinary and very exciting. We're looking, you know, our success here in Malaysia, Singapore, in Vancouver, New Zealand, has been phenomenal. I think we can easily expand through North America and even into Europe in a very short time. But it's these new products that excite me. We are really excited about our second showroom here in Kuala Lumpur, and we'd love everyone to come and have a look at it.
All right. David, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you very much, Audrey.
I've been speaking with David King, founder and chairman of King Living. Now, for more information on King Living, go visit their website, www.kingliving.my, or you can check out their showrooms at IPC Shopping Centre and Jalan Maruf Bangsa. And if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast is available on the BFM website, bfm.my, also on the BFM app, and anywhere else you enjoy listening to your podcast. Just search for Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of David King from King Living, thank you for listening to Open for Business. See you soon, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.